Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you. Oh, praise God. We receive our hearts flooded with light concerning your word. And we're at that place that you dropped into my heart. And I believe we're there now. And we'll step on out there in it. And we give you the praise and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we began this study, of course, with the in Him, in Christ, in the Beloved, and in whom scriptures. So, it's amazing to me how can I say that, Lord? That, as we pointed out last week, the Bible says we were first called Christians at Antioch. Well, what were we called before that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It was called the way. And it was called the great confession, because that's what he taught. And that's what Peter taught, and that's what all of them taught after that, because he's the one who said it. Now, we've established this study, and we won't attempt to go into all of these different scriptures, because we will make them available, as I said, in the form of notes. So it's time now to move over into the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. In this fifth chapter, class, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those by using of practice or use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Years ago, in studying this, the Lord said, that's your job. That's it. Amen. The time you ought to, the time you ought to be teachers, you have one that need to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a baby. Doesn't know how to use it. And that's what these scriptures are. That's the reason I didn't come up with this. I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin. So what does that mean? Those Rhema students were way ahead of me. Glory to God, hallelujah. In 1975, at the first graduation, the first graduating Rhema class, I was asked to speak. And it blessed me because what I didn't know, they were about to give me a Rhema graduation ring. So I graduated from Rhema in 1975 because I got it on the tapes before they got there. And while I was doing that, it was at Sheridan Assembly in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there was a young man in the choir that was an Oral Roberts University student. And his name was George Pearsons. And my daughter had invited him to come hear her daddy, Terry. Well, they introduced Kenneth Hagin. He said, well, no, that's the wrong Kenneth. Then they introduced Kenneth Jr. He said, that can't be. And they introduced me. He said, well, yeah, that's him. And I spoke about the three honors, the honor of being called to preach, and the honor of being married to a godly woman, and the honor of my peers having caring anything about what I said. Praise God. And I said, I'm enjoying that. And they walked up and handed me that ring. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, go with me now to chapter 6. This is what last week was about. This is what this week has been about. And we're here. All of this was preparation. All of this was foundation. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms. There's more than one. The Scripture says we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Ghost. The doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, class, this is the principal doctrine of Christ. It's very sacred. And it must not be treated ho-hum. No. This is principle. The doctrine of laying on of hands. Whew. Laying hands on the sick. Laying hands to separate someone into an office. Praise God. Very, very special. Jesus did all of these things, except baptizing. He didn't baptize anybody. John took care of that. His cousin. For it is impossible, this we will do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now, make a note of this. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's the sin unto death. Didn't say God wouldn't forgive them. It's impossible to bring them to repentance. And there's another place in here that backs it up in the book of Hebrews. Here again. Well, yes, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hold your place there, because we're going to that. Let's go to the book of Philippians, please. Well, I went right past it. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat these also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, class. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you what she did. I'm going to tell you. It's absolute truth. I know it is because I heard Brother Doodad say so. Oh, brother. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. That pretty well knocked that one in the head. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. That wasn't lovely. You see, these things have to be judged. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, and too, I want to mention one of the, these are my go-to study books, particularly the Richard Francis Weymouth New Testament in Modern Speech, which says faith needs corresponding action. And we published both of these, but I just wanted to make sure you're aware of it. And the Classic Amplified is now a Kenneth Copeland Ministries product. I want you to see this from the Classic Amplified. And we're in Philippians 4. Okay. Now this says, be careful for nothing. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer, petition, definite requests. Don't just shoot scattershots. Well, God, you know whatever I need. That ain't going to get it. No. You need to ask. Huh? Ask, you shall receive. What? Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now listen. God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God, being content with his earthly lot, whatever sort it is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, whatever is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there be any virtue and excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these and fix your mind on them. Fix it there. Amen. All right. Now, hold your place in the book of Philippians, and let's go back to 2 Corinthians. You like this kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Kind of just rip-roaring through the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, this has come up a lot of times in different ways and different things in the ministry. A couple of times of some very serious things financially. And the worst financial situation, there was a time when some different things had happened and our TV bill began to slip. And we got $6 million behind on that thing. And now, as it came in, we were still paying it. And they weren't kicking us off of stations. But we were on some thin ice. Our board meeting's coming up. Pastor George, CEO, would report, get a report from all the different departments, then give it to me, and then I make the report to the board. I waited to the last minute. I didn't want to go in for that board. So I went in and got the report. Now this is the thing that I wanted to point out. Oh, best year we've ever had. Yeah. Best year we've ever had. Best year we've ever had. 6 million in the red. Best year we've ever had. Best year we've ever had. And I went back and the Lord said, the one you tried to carry is the one that's behind. I fixed my mind on that. I violated what we just read in the book of Philippians. I fixed my mind on it. I couldn't think about anything. Because, you know, 6 million, I mean, you got to be picking real fast. Because you not only, the TV bill wasn't going down. It was still increasing. And back in those days, there's somewhere around 1 million a month. And it just kept getting, a little bit at a time, just kept getting behind and behind, and it wound up in that $6 million mark. And I heard the Lord say, you know better than that. He said, I taught you a long time ago to cast the whole of your care over on me. And if you'd have done it in the beginning, you wouldn't be in this mess now. What are you going to do? Gloria! She'd already gone to bed. I called her down to my study. I said, sweetheart, look at this. I said, look what I've done. So we got together and we prayed and we went to the Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we agreed before the Lord and said, it's done. But then I'd get thinking, oh, 6 minutes, what am I going to do? No. Say this. I cannot afford to touch that with my thought life. I must be obedient to Philippians 4. Think on those things. Not this TV bill. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you. Absent, I'm bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present and confident. Let's go on down to 4. Or verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not human, but mighty through God to the pulling down. I'm gonna put a little parenthesis. To the pulling down of mental strongholds. We'll read it here in a moment. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or against what you know to be the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, I put a little note, all disobedience of thought when your obedience is fulfilled. And I'd be sitting there and I'd think, 6 million. No, you don't. No. I've already, that belongs to God, not me. If I could have fixed it, I've already done it. No, I'm not touching that. Well, after a couple of weeks, I'm telling you, first 2 or 3 weeks, these thoughts were doing their best to get out of jail and get back on me. But after a couple of weeks, it became fewer and fewer, to where then it was just gone. I didn't pay attention to it anymore. Pastor George then had already taken that up, because obviously he knew it was there. He had already taken it up, and he was already moving in that direction also. When I got out of the way, and I just didn't touch it with my thought life anymore, and I would think about it, I'd say, glory to God, it's so great to be out of debt. It is so great. Hallelujah. Class, it was an absolute miracle. I don't write my partners and say, oh, help me, please. No. My spiritual father, the day he commissioned me on partner letters, you don't write these letters to get your needs met. You write your letters to help your partners get their needs met. I don't mention it. I'm telling you, it came in there in record time. Now, listen to this. We had been paying that bill in two installments each month, and for the first time in the history of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we paid the TV bill in one check. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise. Now, what happened? Let's go back over here, and I'll show you what happened. We became skillful in the word of righteousness. And that skill was needed desperately, but it worked. Yeah. Yes. I had to practice it. I couldn't just say, oh, well, you can't do that. I can't get this off my mind. I don't know why anybody think you could get $6 million off your mind in the first place. I'm just a country boy to start with. I don't want that. It had the potential of destroying this ministry. Because we were preaching a debt-free lifestyle, and here we were $6 million behind. And we're out of time again today. Let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Come on, do better than that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Every day, your words have the power to shape your life. What words are you choosing? Words that invite struggle and defeat, or words that bring life? In his audio teaching, Choose Life, Choose Words, Kenneth Copeland reveals how the words you speak today will create your future. When your voice lines up with God's word, his promises of healing, abundance, and victory begin to flow in your life. Conquer worry and anxiety by meditating on God's word day and night. Let it be the first thoughts you have when you wake and your last thoughts lying down. Build a solid confession of faith. Fill your heart with God's truth and speak words that create the life you were meant to live. Your breakthrough is in the faith in your heart that comes out of your mouth. Request your copy and start to choose life, choose words. Request your copy of Choose Life, Choose Words by Kenneth Copeland, available as a digital download free on kcm.org.uk/TV special. Learn how to develop a constant confession of faith based on the Word of God. Download your free audio teaching today and let the power of God's Word, spoken by faith, set your course for life. Request your free offer today.
God loves you, and one of the ways He expresses His love to you is by blessing you. That blessing is an empowerment from God Himself, enabling you to prosper and excel in every area of life. God's will for you has not changed. He is ready to release the power of His blessing to you today if you'll receive it. The first step to receiving God's blessing is to come into His family. This blessing is a covenant promise from God to His children to be our protector and provider for everything we need. This life in a covenant family is available to you right now. All you have to do is receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus did all the hard part for you. He paid the price for your sin and made it possible for you to become part of God's family. If you're ready for a fresh start in a family who loves you, then pray this with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive my new language. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. The old life of sin and darkness is gone, and your new life has just begun. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now because you've been born into God's family. To learn more about your new life in this royal family of God, the Copelands have a gift they want to send you for free. It's called the Salvation Package. There is a small book called He Did It All For You, two brochures to help you get started reading your Bible. This resource will help you understand what it means to be in the family of God and get started in a personal relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. He loves you so much. He's excited to show you the blessed life that He's prepared just for you. To receive your free copy of the Salvation Package, go to kcm.org today. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
The Word works, but you have to work the Word.
Yes.
Say it, the Word works,
the Word works.
But I work the Word. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this, God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Ha! Glory to God, hallelujah.
Learn more about who you are in Jesus and who He is in you. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk to request your free salvation package.
Find something life-giving on kcm.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library, over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.